Every builder, even the most successful, running large teams, seeing eight-figure profits, wants insight on how to run a better business.
Exactly. And that's why we couldn't wait to share the latest free resource from our friends at Breakthrough Academy.
Breakthrough Academy was created to help builders evolve through the use of smart systems and tools like their free strategic planning template.
That's right, Zach. Today, our listeners can access their free template and start sustaining business growth in 2024 and beyond. They'll get a comprehensive guide, including step-by-step instructions on how to outline business goals, an in-depth example of a completed template, and an editable Excel sheet for easy implementation.
This must-have resource was designed to help you establish a clear path for your construction business while navigating uncertainties.
Get your free copy of the strategic planning template today at buildertrend.com/BTA template. That's buildertrend.com/BTA template.
You're listening to The Building Code, your guide for a better way to run your business. I'm TH.
I call me up. That's a good time. I'm PW.
Are you going to do it?
I'm PW.
There we go. The reason we're doing initials today is because of our guest, RB, from Gallup and Lafitte. They're based in South Carolina. And RB is joining us today on the podcast to share about their business, the processes they've been going through, some things that make them unique. We've got lots of great topics of discussion today. So let's bring RB on the line. He's joining us via FaceTime. So RB, thank you so much for joining us today on The Building Code.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you. And again, let's start off just first off, let's talk about, we typically ask like backgrounds of company names. So Gallup and Lafitte, it's family business, you're RB Gallup. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so my family, my parents started the company in 1995 and referred to it as Gallup and Gallup then. It was my mom and my dad, and my dad was a residential plan designer. And my mom was an interior designer. And they saw a need coming from before, previously they were real estate brokers, and they saw a real disconnect between clients and the custom building process. Builders were not very customer friendly, and they didn't make the process seamless. There was a big disconnect on having house plans designed and then going out and creating those houses. And it often wasn't a smooth, fun process along the way. So they came up with the design build model for their company and started in 95. Since then, it's kind of taken off, and we've done well. And in 2010, I became a builder and came on board. And around the same time, Robert Lafitte did as well. And so we became Gallup and Lafitte. About 2013, we moved from Gallup and Gallup to Gallup and Lafitte. And I'm a part owner with Robert Lafitte and my father. So we're all three owners and we work together. My father still designs our plans. My mother's retired now, but we have two interior designers who work with us. And our whole process is to provide a seamless process from plan design through construction and interior design as well. So the client has an organized and hopefully positive experience instead of being frazzled by the million choices they have to make.
Yeah, a lot of options there in the home building process. So glad to hear that you got a good system in place for that. Let's talk a little bit more your background specifically, because I know that we chatted a couple weeks ago on Instagram Live, but to share with all of our listeners here, you were the youngest home builder ever to receive the designation of Certified Master Builder in the state of South Carolina. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, talk about like putting the bar really high for yourself.
I don't know if it's that. I think I have I know I have a chip on my shoulder coming into this business as a very young builder and someone whose parents have been successful. I didn't want to drop the ball or appear that I was just taking it for granted. So I've always had that prove it mentality to go out and try to make a name for myself as well. So I thought it was very important to get some education and credentials on the front end. And I try to do that with stuff like going to Builder Trend and education along the way, trying to always improve our process and not be satisfied with the status quo. and it might be a result of my chip on my shoulder, but it's advantageous for our business, I think.
Absolutely.
I'm very intrigued by, you know, that idea of you coming in and being really young. What are some of the challenges when you're like young in this business and your parents own it? Is that just sort of interactions with the subs and trades, or just really everybody?
Yeah, I would say it's just, you know, building is, you could go to school for construction science. I did not. You could go to school for construction science and many things, but you really don't learn until you're out in the field doing it. And I just think it was just time in the saddle, just working, building houses. And I told my wife I got comfortable being a project manager around 3 years in. And then when we hit about 5 years, I felt just confident. You know, I felt really good. And it's just about time and just hard work and trying to stay consistent with it. You know, you get in and it's hard to tell people they're doing something wrong or they need to correct something if you're the young buck who just started. And it just takes time, and you have to build relationships and try to build up confidence in your subcontractors and vendors that work with you.
Yeah, definitely. One of those things that definitely takes time is your processes, right? So obviously, coming into an established business, there's already processes put in place. You obviously joined, so there's already kind of some expectations there. Tell us about your process. What did it look like before you came on? And then, you know, after implementing technology, you mentioned obviously you're a user builder trend. What did that look like post that process?
Yeah, I think it was about the time we started Gallup and Lafitte. I want to say that was in 2013 when Robert, myself and my father actually formed a partnership and changed the company to Gallup and Lafitte. We decided we had a lot of projects. We looked at what we did during a planning session and we said, that is just a ton of work. I think we were drawing income off of 30 projects that year, which was realistically too high. It was too high at the time, but we saw, you know, this could get out of control really quickly if we're not organized. So we went to BuilderTrend then, and I think that was, you know, probably about 6 years ago since we started. And before then, it was loosely the same practice. You know, we practice open book accounting. We share schedules with our clients. We did all of those things, but it was very one-on-one. And it works if you're building five projects or so, maybe at max. But now we run about 12 to 15 projects at a time. And it allows us to organize our team and our employees and kind of have a 30,000 foot view on it. And then also, really the big thing is proactive communication with our clients. It really irritated me when I first started that we would be running the schedules, the projects would be going well, and I'm just getting constant phone calls. What's going on at the house? The clients were always asking, what's happening? What's this? And it dawned on me that they really weren't trying to aggravate us or say we're doing a bad job. They just didn't know. So now with BuilderTrend, we can give them our schedules, keep those updated. And the big thing is the daily logs. We hit them with a daily log, you know, I would say at least three times a week. And our clients love it. So a lot of them are out of town. But even if they're not, they look at the pictures and they see the progress. And we tell them, you know, what's happened, what's coming up, and kind of any notes or roadblocks we need to address. We try to hit all those with the little updates. And it's just very proactive. No one ever wonders what's going on next. They're just excited about seeing the stuff go in and following along.
That's great. Real quick, just about that process of the daily logs, because I know something came up earlier today in a conversation with another client about daily logs. How did you get to that cadence? You said you're doing them like three times a week, I think you said.
Yeah, and I hate to say it exactly three times a week, but it's multiple times a week, you know, and we try to update them at least weekly, you know. So we're not going to do one every day for every single project, but we're going to keep them updated multiple times a week. And our project managers are rotating. They work on about 4 to 5 jobs at a time, and they're updating them as they're there. And it's really helped us in a lot of cases catch stuff. The client might go, oh, I see you're getting ready to do tile. I'm changing my herringbone pattern in the shower to a different different style or whatnot, really helps them kind of understand what's coming up. And it's helped us catch a few things that we might not have seen because it's given us that kind of checks and balance.
Sure thing.
When you were going through the sales process and you were unique in that you had just started a new part of your company, so you're taking fresh eyes at everything. Were all three of the owners involved in the sales process of evaluating BuilderTrend? Did you bring any other key stakeholders in during that process?
Well, I was the champion of interviewing the, there's about three partners at the, or three programs we looked at the time, including BuilderTrend. And I definitely have the best handle on technology and they know that. But I really had to push to get buy-in from the other two partners. And my dad is actually extremely progressive. He's always been trying to, push the company forward. And he was one of the first people to draw plans on the computer in 95. You know, in South Carolina, that wasn't a big thing. So I got that progressiveness from him. And then Robert Lafitte is a custom builder. He's been a builder for 25 plus years and built some amazing projects, but he's a little more old school. So I think it took a lot to get buy-in there. It was difficult when it was us three working, but when we started hiring project managers, and now there's three project managers and two interior designers and a bookkeeper who works with us, it all kind of fell in place and we presented it and we've got a lot better participation, and that's our system. You know, without it, we wouldn't be able to organize the whole team. So it helped us scale tremendously. I don't know how we would have scaled our company up without a tool that we can kind of manage the team with.
Let's talk about your projects a little bit. Kind of what do you have going on right now in the process? Like, where are you at in the build process on a couple projects? What are you looking forward to? How are you handling? I know one part that's near and dear to your heart, also to my friend PW here, is the sales process. So I know Paul's ears definitely perked up there when I mentioned the sales process. So let's talk about your current projects and kind of your pipeline going into those.
Right. So design build has really helped us keep our pipeline. That's an excellent way to, you know, think about it. The average builder has to quote plans. People come to them with plans. They have to bid against other builders, and that's the project. We sit down with the client the first meeting and establish a budget. Now, this is a ballpark budget. We say we're going to be within maybe $100,000 of this price. And that's what we're going to design to. And we agree that it's realistic and we're shooting towards a common goal. From there, we ask for a simple deposit. So we ask for a little skin in the game, and it allows us to schedule our design starts. We start a design. We do about one or two designs at a time, and we usually stay about 30 to 45 days out on starting a new design. So we're working on a design. That takes us approximately 45 days. Out of that, we have a contract, and then we're already scheduling the start of the construction. So we're really able to plan 2 to 3 months out when we're going to start the house. So we're able to project, I think, farther ahead than most because we have this design deposit and a small waiting list that allows us to say, okay, well, we're designing this house now. It'll be built next month. And we have this deposit that will start the design next month and so forth. So it really allows us to kind of keep our pipeline moving. And we can tell quickly if we need to, change things up or whatnot to generate some more sales.
So speaking of sales, I know one part of that obviously is marketing, getting your name out there. We know you got a website, and we'll definitely put it in the show notes here because you have partnered with BuilderTrend and our web services team to work on your website. And I think you've got the new website launching here soon. So I'd like to ask you really quick, kind of what led you to the process of, you know, saying, hey, we need to update the website. That's the first question. Second question is, why did you choose BuilderTrend for that process and what's it been like?
You know, I think everyone says the minute a website is created, it's out of date. And it's true. And we were working with a firm that was local before, and I feel like they weren't just not up to snuff on some of the technology that's commonly used for basic websites these days. And we've kind of pivoted to where a website doesn't have to do too much for us. It's a portfolio that shows off our pictures, and it needs to look good and kind of show our work. It's a landing page that kind of reinforces our signs, our social media, and our referrals. And so, you know, once we kind of demystified it and said it's not this big, crazy thing we have to seek the ultimate design on, and I, at the same time, I found out Builder Trend created websites. Well, I knew y'all have a firm grasp on technology, and your customer service is great. So I figured, why couldn't they handle our website as well? And it's been a good process. It's been very simple, straightforward, and you know, I think it's been a pleasure working with the team there.
That's great to hear.
You had mentioned, you know, I just want to give the audience a little bit idea about your price range and like what part of South Carolina, because you had mentioned you had some maybe second homes.
So, well, we're starting to see more second homes. We're in the middle of South Carolina, so Columbia is the capital, and we build a lot of our houses on the lake just outside of Columbia. It's on Lake Murray. A lot of people are attracted to South Carolina. They see the Charleston area and the coast. Let's just call it the coast. And then they see the upstate, some beautiful mountain areas. Both of those places come with a certain cost and a cost of living. And we are kind of right in the sweet spot in between, and literally geographically too. So people who visit the two areas looking for a nice place to vacation or a lot of times retire end up landing on Lake Murray because it's just a beautiful big clean water lake. It's warm water. You know, it's very well taken care of. And your dollar goes a little bit further here. Most of the range of homes we build in would be in the $500,000 to $1.5 million range just for the house. And the lot costs are really going up. So it's a, you know, in some ways it's harder for people to build on the lake because of the higher property taxes. But we're getting to do a lot cooler projects every year because you're not going to buy a $300,000, $400,000 lot and put a $300,000, $400,000 house on it. You're going to, you know, make sure your property value is reflective of where you are.
I just wanted to tie that into your sales process. Does that tweak it a little bit, having to maybe even do your first phone call over the phone or through a Zoom these days because they're not maybe right in your local area to come in for that first meeting?
Yeah, we had one of those, I think maybe one or two Zoom sales meetings over this COVID period. I think a lot of it is word of mouth. In this area, people end up kind of checking out the local, maybe the golf courses. My father actually lives in one of the local golf courses, and everyone knows him there. So if anyone steps foot there, that seems to be a good in for us. So if they see, and then they see our signs, you know, just putting good signage up on these lake houses, and we put big signs up on the lake. So tasteful, nice signs with our logo on the lake. And people are boating by these beautiful houses. That's all they do all day is drive by them and say, oh, I like that one. I like this one. And just having your image out there, and then maybe they check out the website and give us a call. But if they can call us, the design part really helps because we can walk the lot with them and kind of, you know, meet the real estate agent, meet them, whoever's involved, and be the guy who kind of can help give them some answers on the area. And that's been a real good foot in the door with out-of-town clients because they're here and they don't know anything about the area. They don't know what's involved in building on the lake. And there are a lot of requirements to keep in mind.
You mentioned trying to be proactive with your communication with clients. You're doing that through daily logs, but it sounds like you're starting that from the very beginning of the process too. Could you go into more detail about, you know, how did you come up with the process? And can you walk us through a little bit more of the steps of what that looks like in order to make sure you're ensuring that you're delivering a great customer experience?
Yeah, and I think that's a challenge you're always trying to refine. You know, I think we're always trying to improve our process and our customer experience. I heard something on a another podcast the other day that the more houses you build, the longer your tail gets, and you don't want to be tripping over your tail. Sure. And it's so true, you know. So you got to finish strong, and that's a big item. And you've got to be responsive, and it starts with the first call. You know, you try to qualify the people online and see if you're a good fit. You set up a meeting, you give them a next step, say the next step is you're giving us a deposit and we're going to schedule your start on design. And then when we start the design, we have a three-step process on the plans where we're not designing a beautiful house and then redoing it all at the end. You know, it's like a building block system. And then it starts from the contract. We roll them into Builder Trend and immediately start communicating with them in messaging. So we get them trained that your project messaging is going to come through Builder Trend. And we tell them it helps us keep organized, where all of our emails are not scattered throughout. They're organized by project. And then on the back end, we can see what our PMs are doing and quickly kind of run to a problem if we have something that we all need to huddle up on and help them with. So it gives us a more unified experience, which I think is important. A lot of people are maybe even starting with the marketing. They're seeing I'm doing a lot of Instagram stories and they're seeing those. So they're somewhat feeling maybe a personal connection. They've seen the stories. They've met me. They met Robert, whoever is involved. And then, you know, they don't want to then be rushed through a factory. They want to have that personal connection along the way. And you kind of have to be that chauffeur and take them through the process.
That's awesome. And just a quick plug for your Instagram. If people want to follow you on Instagram, they should follow. It's just at and then Gallup and Lafitte, correct?
That's it. At okay. Gallup and Lafitte.
And we'll post that in the show notes too. So that way, if you're driving somewhere, don't try to type that in. Just wait, go click on the link. You can find it at buildertrend.com/podcast. We'll put it in the show notes and that way you can link right to their Instagram.
Yeah, everybody wants to know how to pronounce Robert's last name and said, who is this Frenchman?
Yeah.
So you search Gallup and it should pop right up.
So. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, I love that you're working on that proactive communication and offering your clients a personal connection with your business. I think that definitely must set you apart down there with the other builders around in your area. So, and some great tips for our listeners to make sure that they're implementing that in their process as well.
Yeah, I think the next thing I'd like to implement more to, you know, you hit on the customer experience, and I think that's, you've always got to be watching that and improving it and trying to do that by having increased systems and better organization, but I also want to get more client feedback. And in the past, that's been informal, and I've taken some clients out to lunch, and we've discussed it and kind of picked their brains. But I think we're going to start trying to do more of these surveys, and Builder Trend actually has a template. Builder Trend is more, we don't use all the functions, and I hear that from a lot of people, but you can kind of grow into them. And the surveys would be one that, you know, it might be tough to put yourself out there and want to know honest feedback on things, but that's how you improve. And I think it's the next step.
It totally goes back to expectations, you know, and I think if you're communicating those as well as you are up front, that your process for the communication part of it and saying that, you know, hey, we use Builder Trend to communicate, we use Builder Trend's messages. And so that's how you're going to have all project communication come through there and setting that expectation for the client. That way they understand, oh, this is how this relationship works. I think if you have that and then have that touch point of sending out a survey, you know, before the project gets started. Hey, how was the starting process with you? A couple, like five questions, you know, what'd you think about working with RB? You know, what'd you think about our design process? And getting that feedback back from your clients is crucial to make sure that you're keeping a good temperature on the relationship, right? Because you don't want to get to that point in the relationship where all of a sudden they're upset or you're upset and you have no idea how you got there. Using the surveys for that feedback is crucial.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think if you've been in this business long enough, I tell some of the younger guys, our PMs, I said, don't take anyone's kindness for granted. You know, a lot of times, you know, it could be very easy to think that a client who's happy along the way, always nice, ready to see you, you know, there's nothing wrong there. But you got to bring your A game every time because you don't want to lose them at the end and you want to keep them happy. And it's, I think any business, you know, customer facing's got to be focused on that.
Absolutely. Well, RB, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and just sharing your experience. We loved hearing about your process, like I said, with delivering an exceptional customer experience. And, you know, I think you guys are doing a great job with that. If you're listening to this podcast, again, don't forget to follow them on social media. Don't forget to go check out their new website. Appreciate, again, your time coming on the podcast and sharing your experience.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, RB.
Love what you heard? Don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast so you can hear from more guests that will benefit your business. Also, please check out our show notes page for more information on what we discussed on this episode. You can find it at buildertrend.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Building Code.
Appreciate you.